Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. That's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Vince Vance and the Valiants. And the...
We found her.
I'm trying to think of her name.
Yeah.
Because she was a terrific guest. She actually recorded... And we're talking about the female lead vocalist on that.
Because she ain't Vince Vance, that's for sure.
She re-recorded that on her own.
I think you've got it over there, because we had her on the show. We were walking through a store, Christmas shopping, and we heard this playing, and we both stopped and said, oh, there was just not enough new mm-hmm. Christmas music at that time. Thankfully, there's been some more.
It begins with an Leanne.
And we set about finding her. I don't think we had Google at that time. Maybe we did. Maybe that's how we found her.
I think
we tracked her down, and she was just the sweetest person.
She
said, oh my gosh, you like my song? Yeah, we kind of love your song, and we think you need to be recognized. And then she went back in the studio and recorded it.
She went back in the studio and recorded it with the legendary Jordanaires, the group that had backed up Elvis, and a lot of Nashville musicians, and I can't think of it, Lee, it'll jump into my gray matter somewhere around 3 in the morning, and when it happens, I will...
You text it.
Yeah.
Just text it, and then whomever's here will then... Yeah. It will be Matt Bubala coming in.
Yeah.
Right? After us.
Yeah.
Because I keep forgetting this is a Friday night. We never worked Friday nights. We always worked Sunday through Friday morning. Which was the best, one of the best things about our gig was when we were driving home, we were going opposite of all the other traffic. And then Sunday nights, we would come in a little bleary eyed after a weekend mm-hmm. because it's very hard to recycle. And for you night shifters out there, you're going, Yeah.
Well, and then for a lot of years, we did a Sunday afternoon show too.
And came back on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we know how to have a good time. But at the moment, we're talking about small businesses. Saturday is Small Business Saturday. We already talked about. One of our favorite places, Guitar Works, up in Evanston, 709 Main Street. Another place that we had mentioned briefly that is in River Grove, the Luciano's, a mom-and-pop Italian restaurant that is the absolute best. And I say that not only because it has wonderful Italian food, but people that have been longtime listeners know that I'm on a gluten-free diet for medical reasons. And they have a gluten-free menu that is...
unbelievable.
You wouldn't know any difference. In fact, we have taken people there, and they have chosen to have the gluten-free
right.
options. And
like the tiramisu.
Oh,
I know.
You had to mention that, didn't you? And Rosa and Luciano are just two of the nicest people on the planet. And we have to pay them a visit. So.
I'm going to take you a little bit further south to a restaurant that we keep hearing great things about. And we were in Munster yesterday at your mm-hmm. brother's house. And there's a place, two locations, and it's called the Harvest Room.
Yeah.
And people are telling us that if you are on a restricted diet, yet you want fabulous food, if you're vegan, I think dairy-free, nut-free, gluten-free, yet really, really good, beautifully plated food,
mm-hmm.
The Harvest Room is a place to go. And they're doing good things. A lot of farm-to-table. They've got a great philosophy for their restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Just good, healthy food that happens to look good, too, at a reasonable price. Listeners have texted in at 312-961-72. Is it 961?
981.
981. Okay. For Christmas.
It took me a while, too.
I need to be deprogrammed because I literally have it written in front of me. I want to slip back to the phone
591-7200.
Yeah. It was like my middle name. It's hard to kind of shake those things. A listener tells us that in Park Ridge, there are a lot of really cool places in Park Ridge.
Like that great old theater.
The Pickwick.
Pickwick, yeah.
Yeah. And there was a little place that we ran into Bob Surratt one time. We were having breakfast right next door to the Pickwick.
Oh.
We were there having
That restaurant right on the...
It's adorable little...
It's Northwest Highway and...
Neighborhood restaurant.
Is it Northwest Highway and Tui?
Someone will
know. What was the...
Listener says, while you're in Park Ridge, stop by Uptown Girls with a Z. And I have friends that shop there, and they say it's such a fun place for clothes and accessories. I'm looking for a place. Seriously. I no longer have Carson's. I need a place to
Johnny,
hang my hat.
Johnny, you're still in mourning over Carson's.
I am.
Although Carson's has started up, there is a Carson's now on 95th. It's their first brick-and-mortar store.
But that's not walking distance.
Well, there's that.
Right. A listener says, gives a shout-out to the Skokie Ace Hardware. We have fond memories of the Skokie Ace Hardware. I didn't know it still existed.
Yeah. I know Lou Manfredini's Ace Hardware is on Devon, and we love that.
We do?
But that's not Skokie.
Yeah. So listeners specifically said Skokie Ace Hardware.
We used to... what was it? And Wally used to talk about it, too. It was up on Main and Crawford.
Crawford, yes. Smartest people in the world there. All Ace Hardwares have smart people, though.
Well, and I can't repair a hangnail, but I love to spend time just looking around. I'm a hardware store geek. I could spend an afternoon just looking around a hardware store. I'm a happy camper.
Office supplies. That's how I am. But, of course, I love school supplies so much, I have to be pulled out of the aisle where the school supplies are because I'm the one sniffing the crayons and... Not the glue, the crayons.
Yes.
I love the smell of fresh crayons. a listener mentioned a bookstore that we mentioned earlier because they have tickets for Muriel Anderson's concert. Anderson's bookstore in Downers Grove. Mm-hmm. There are not a lot of bookstores, sadly. A friend of ours runs one in Nebraska, in Lincoln, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. A novel idea, and it's hard. It's really, really hard when you...
Well, our long-distance listeners, if you're in Nebraska...
Yeah.
In Lincoln, Nebraska, it's a novel idea, and Cinnamon Duckin is a dear friend who is the...
In fact, she's probably up baking cookies getting ready for Small Business Saturday because she feeds her clientele because she's just so thankful for them. And that's how it is. But if you have places you want to give them a shout out, more importantly, go see them on Saturday. Support your small businesses. We've done all our shopping at the big box stores. Mm-hmm. We got out to Walmart and got our $98 40-inch televisions. So now let's, give the small business a little shot in the arm on Saturday.
Just before David Jennings is walking out. David, before you walk out, walk back in here for a second. Because we've been meaning to get a picture with David Jennings. And David, I told you the next time we saw you, we'd get a picture. So before you get out of here, we're going to do that.
So he's going to take his coat off now.
So now he was all dressed, had his parka,
take off his scarf,
snowshoes, and all that stuff. So we're going to take a break and take a picture with David Jennings. So stay with us. And coming up, we're going to be talking with a New York Times bestselling author, Michael Lister.
Yes.
So stay with us. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, along with kicking off the Christmas season, we want to give you some suggestions for some things you might want to buy for Christmas gifts.
Mm-hmm.
This is on that list. This is a new album by an extraordinarily talented Chicago guitarist, our friend Joel Patterson. The album is called Let It Be Guitar. Joel Patterson plays the Beatles. And...
This is all Joel.
Yeah, everything you hear is Joel. We were at a CD release party up in Evanston at Space. And
it blew me away.
Everybody was just crazy for it.
We foolishly waited to get our tickets, so we ended up sitting in general admission. I was tickled because we were practically on the stage.
It was fun.
Off to the side, and he walks around, and he's looking right at you playing guitar. And we've had him in studio many times, but it was so cool to see him on stage. And if you're a Beatles fan, ask Santa for this because you're going to love it.
Yeah, it's got a ton of great things. With different songs, sometimes he does little sly winks. Like if you're paying attention, if you're a musician, you recognize, yes, this is Things We Said Today, but it's done in the style of Jörgen Ingman's Apache.
Oh.
With a lot of things reminiscent of what Jörgen Ingman did. They're both songs that were done in a minor key, and it's, I'm getting into a little bit of music geekiness, but it's a really cool album.
Yeah. So it's, if you get a chance to see him live, too.
Yeah.
It's a real treat.
And he performs a number of places.
Green Mill on Sunday night.
Just go to joelpatterson.com and you'll
find one T, no waiting.
Or you can find him on Facebook, too.
Yes.
Well, now we get to segue and talk to a man that, full disclosure, he is a friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And
just at his house on Sunday night.
We were just at his house a week ago Sunday for a Friendsgiving. And it was a wonderful time.
It was.
And he is an extraordinary author. He is a New York Times best-selling author, a USA Today best-selling author.
Quite seriously doubt that there's any more prolific writer. Every time we turn around, there's another book release. It amazes me the way he is able to put out these books that are so good. I mean, just when I think I've read my favorite one, the next one comes out and I read it and go, no, this is my favorite one. And I just started his very latest one, Blood and Sand, part of his John Jordan series. And if you don't know Michael Lister, you should know Michael Lister. So we want to introduce you to him so you'll get to know him here on the radio tonight. Michael, good evening.
Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you.
And same to you, Michael.
Did you have something like 81 degrees in Wewahitchka, Florida?
It has been extremely warm and very, very nice the last couple of days.
Yeah. And we were talking about Wewahitchka, Florida yesterday, the home of the Tupelo honey, right?
World famous Tupelo honey.
World famous.
Best honey.
Well, we got into a conversation over dinner about a movie. I'll take you on a little bit of a left turn, but you are a film fan. Is Uli's Gold with Peter Fonda, is that a movie that was actually filmed in Wewahitchka?
It sure was, yep. Uli's Gold, it was written and directed by a professor of film at Florida State University, but he based it on the Tupelo honey crop and harvest here, and our little town, Wewahitchka, is the really only place in the world that Tupelo honey can be produced commercially. Like enough of it can be made to have a commercial crop. And so he based it on some of the beekeepers here, and he shot it here. I have several friends that are extras in the movie, and I had the opportunity to be because they shot at the prison, and I was the chaplain there at the time. And I had so much going on that I didn't do it. But several of my friends are in it, and it's a really excellent film.
That's interesting, because that was our conversation over dinner, and we all said, we've got to go to Netflix and find this movie by the time we were done talking about it. Well, you are also a filmmaker as well as a novelist. But please, will you share a moment, just a little bit of behind the scenes? You have almost 40 books under your belt, don't you? 40, that's 30-something that you've written. What's the number?
Yeah, and definitely in the 30s, high 30s. I don't know exactly how many it is. But and then, of course, in my main series, the John Jordan series, the 23rd book just came out.
The 23rd in the series with the same main character, John Jordan. But I will tell you, because I shared one of your books with a neighbor, and it was like number 18. It's a standalone. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say, Michael? You don't have to begin at the beginning to get to know this John Jordan character.
Absolutely. Yeah, readers tend to want to read them in order, but the way I do it is each mystery plot of each novel is contained. So if you read them in order, you'll see the character arcs better, and you'll see the personal journeys that go on, you know, with the characters from book to book and over the course of the series. But you if you pick up one anywhere in the series, you will get a complete story, a complete mystery investigated mm-hmm. and solved in the course of that one book.
But if you do read all of them, you get, and this is a compliment to your writing ability, you care about these people. There right. is a family and extended family friends that populate a lot of the stories, and you really care about them. One of the things I want to ask you about is, as the more that you write about these various characters, you kind of get to know their personalities. Their personalities are defined. So does that make your writing easier or harder because you know what these characters would say? And sometimes you would want them to say that, or sometimes mm-hmm. you don't want them to say that, or how does that work for you?
You're exactly right. It does make it easier because the more I know them, the better I know them, the more easy it is to write. And so I know what they will and will not do. I know what their personality quirks are, their traits, their preferences. And hopefully readers get to know them over the course of the series and like you said, come to know them as old friends. And so every time a new book comes out, it's like getting to spend time with close friends. And a lot of times in literature, we get to know the characters better than we know most of the people around us at any given time mm-hmm. because we're inside of them. You know, we're getting mm-hmm. so much of their thoughts and their motivations. And, I mean, to me, that's the joy of reading is the humanity we get to experience. And I think it expands our own and it helps us to become more compassionate and understanding of others because we're spending time inside of characters. The only other thing I would say, based on what you just mentioned about the series and John having this network of family and friends, is that there's a tradition especially in hard-boiled mystery series, where the detective is a loner. You know, he's this lone wolf, mm-hmm. just really isolated, not connected. And that just didn't appeal to me in any way. So from the very beginning, John has had, you know, this family. Both parents were alive at the beginning of the series, and a brother, and then this close network of friends that are very much like family, in the same way you guys are like family to me, and like at our gathering for Friendsgiving, you know, to me that's, we call it Friendsgiving, but everybody there is like family, you know. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted John to have that, and I've had a lot of reviewers comment on that and how much they appreciate it and how different it is from so many of the unattached characters that are, you know, populate crime fiction.
Mm-hmm. Well, Johnny mentioned a few minutes ago that part of your background is that of a prison chaplain, and you bring that into John Jordan's background, don't you?
I do. When I was first conceiving of the series, you know, I was looking at, there were so many great series out there, and rather than just having another detective, a PI or a cop, I thought, you know, what would be another interesting vocation that would enable a detective to, you know, have a more well-rounded job and work life, but he would still come in contact with criminals and crime and have plenty of mysteries to solve. And it just so happened to be where I was transitioning into prison chaplaincy, something that, you know, even though I went to school and my degrees are in theology, I never considered prison chaplaincy. That was just not on my radar. And it was really serendipitous how it all came about that I became a chaplain. And so I just knew that was the career I wanted John to have at that point in his life, you know, mm-hmm. in his career. He's always been an investigator, and sometimes over the course of the series, over the course of his life, sometimes that's his main job. His primary job is as a detective or an investigator, an actual police officer. Other times it's as a chaplain. but he's always investigating, whether it's officially or unofficially. He can't help himself. And because he's pretty skilled at it and has done it for so long, more and more people are aware of it, and they come to him with mysteries to solve.
You were, and I guess you still remain, the person who was the youngest chaplain in Florida. Is that correct? Prison chaplain?
Yes. When I was I became a chaplain with the state of Florida in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there's only about 100 chaplains in the state prison system. And at that time, I know my goal at that time in my life was to be published by the time I was 30.
So were you writing while you were a chaplain?
I absolutely was. I got to live my research, and I got paid by the state of Florida to do that, which is incredible. But every break I got, every lunch break, I would spend my time writing, and because I was getting so many ideas, and I was so inspired by all I was seeing. Prison's its own little world. Mm-hmm. And I never wanted the series just to be set in prison. So there's always mysteries and cases he's working on outside of prison. But I also wanted to give readers a glimpse into, you know, what a strange world that is and how it is a world unto itself and with different norms and different conventions. And it's just a different social order. And yet, in some ways, it mirrors, you know, the world outside of prison. So yeah, I was writing it. I remember sitting in orientation, so new employee orientation. I was already working on the first John Jordan novel.
I love it. You said that. It's fallen into my lap, and I just have to do it. It's my destiny. We're talking with Michael Lister.
Part of the reason I took the job was because of that. That was one of my motivations.
That's great.
Research the series.
Michael has this incredible, has a couple of incredible series. We're both engrossed in the John Jordan series at this point, and that's what we're talking about. And he has a brand new one out in that series. Michael Lister is our guest. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with New York Times best-selling author and a dear friend, Michael Lister. And I'm playing this song in particular right now because this is a song that that I recorded a couple years ago with a dear friend of all of ours, who unfortunately recently passed away. His name was Dave Lloyd, and he's the guy that you hear playing behind me, playing an instrument called a Chapman stick. And to this day, I don't know how any human being could play this incredible 10-stringed instrument, but he did just an extraordinary job. And one of the many reasons we appreciate Michael Lister's friendship is because of the things that he keeps as his top priorities. And after Dave Lloyd passed away, Michael came to us and he said, I want to do something to help Dave's children. So, along with several other people, Michael and I participated in a CD that is currently available. And Michael, am I correct? It is still available through your website?
Yes. Yeah, we have a few copies left. We're getting actually close to being out of our first print run or pressing, whatever you call it. But yeah, there are some left.
And the album is called...
He started playing, I recognized it, and I was like, oh, man, I'm so glad you're playing that. You sound amazing, and... You and Dave together really does something for my heart.
Dave was an extraordinary musician. The album is called Into the Mystic, a Dave Lloyd tribute album. And if people would like to get it, it has a total of 16 cuts by some extraordinary musicians from the Gulf Coast.
Including Michael Lister.
Including Michael Lister, exactly. And the money is being used to help the education of Dave's daughters.
Four daughters. Yeah.
So, and again, they can find it just to go to your website, and I believe it is under, is it under books or video or photos?
Yeah, I think it's under the video and photos tag. It's okay. Just michaellister.com, and it's pretty easy to find once you get there.
And we have a link to your page on our page. And when people click on books, they're going to see this page of all the covers of your books. So I want to take you back to the how do you do this? Do you say every single day of your life, this is my job, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write X number of hours a day? Is that how it works?
I used to do that where I wrote every single day. Now what I've found to be most effective for me is when I'm in the middle of writing a novel or when I'm writing a novel, I write every single day for several hours. Mm-hmm. But now when I finish a novel, and then of course it goes into the editing process, but when it's completely done, I actually take a little time off now. And so sometimes I'll turn to writing nonfiction, or sometimes I won't write at all for a few days, and I'll do more research and so the intensity of writing a novel, I'm not doing that all the time. Mm-hmm. Usually I'm giving myself probably a 3 week to 1 month period in between working on projects. And that's just what's worked best for me. Previously, I was pretty much the moment I finished one novel, I started another.
Wow.
And now just the rhythm and the, I don't know, it works for me. Mm-hmm. So that I can have recharge, refresh. I'll do a lot of reading in between, like I said, a lot of research. Mm-hmm. And let the ideas for the next one formulate. And sometimes I already have them, you know, before I even finish the one I'm working on. But other times I just have some vague notions or ideas. And so I'll spend a little time just letting it percolate, you know, and mm-hmm. let's see what happens, where it goes. And it's just the process that's working for me the best right now.
We should mention the most recent John Jordan novel is Blood and Sand. And I have to tell you, there is a point in this novel, and I've had it happen in a number of your books, where I'm reading along, and all of a sudden, at the end of one chapter, there's a, what? And then you start the next chapter, and I'm not kidding, because I read a lot late at night. All of a sudden, I find my heart is starting to beat a little faster. Mm-hmm. Because of the way you describe some things, and yeah. Suddenly it's, how are they got, what? I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that, but it's wonderful. And I should mention, too, I read Blood and Sand in a day and a half.
He was very quiet.
Wow.
So now I have it in hand, but I just went to your website and I see that we don't have the very latest. You actually have two more coming out before the end of the year. Is that correct?
Only one. This is the last novel for this year, Blood and Sand, mm-hmm. Which I should say is based. It was really inspired by the Madeleine McCann case,
right?
And I bet a lot of your listeners are familiar with that. And there's a great Netflix documentary called "The Disappearance of Madeleine McCann," and that really is a great, great multi-part documentary, and that inspired this one. So this is the last novel, but I have a novella called A John Jordan Christmas that is actually coming out on Christmas Day.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm chuckling because I'm looking at Steve because he's like, okay, Santa.
Yeah, yeah, Santa.
Are you going to work on
Santa,
that for me? Do you recall?
Speaking of Santa, mm-hmm. Right now I have, with your listeners in mind, I have taken the first 6 John Jordan mysteries. There's a box set collection available at Amazon for the Kindle, and it's only 99¢ right now.
What?
So if somebody wants to try John Jordan, they could actually get the first complete 6 novels, started off for just 99¢.
Wow. So,
thank you. That's awesome.
So for our listeners, so if anybody is sitting at their computers right now, what would they do? Where do they go? How do they order it?
Just go to Amazon.com, and you can type in 6 John Jordan Mysteries, or type in my name, Michael Lister, and you'll see the box set come up. And it's, like I said, just for a limited time, it's 99 cents. But I just so appreciate you guys having me on and allowing me to share a little bit about
that
this,
is so cool.
Character of John Jordan. So thank you. Yeah,
that is so cool. Do you recall? Because I can recall when I first realized that you had made it on the New York Times bestseller list. Can you recall when you first went, what? And you got the news?
I can remember that because a writer friend of mine contacted me to congratulate me.
Oh.
And I hadn't seen it yet. Yeah. And I had some notion that I might hit it this particular week, so I was certainly looking. And I had just looked, just within a few hours, had looked online, because it comes out online first. And I see it. And I said, when she contacted, she said, congratulations, so happy for you. And I was like, I don't think, and she said, no, I'm looking at the list right now, and you're on it.
That is
so
cool. So
I rushed back to the computer and refreshed, and it was there, and it was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I bet it was. I got goosebumps as you told the story, Michael. And thank you so much for that generous gift, this Christmas gift, 99 cents for your box set. And thank you for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And people can check out your website, michaellister.com. And thank you again for having us over for Friendsgiving.
And we'll see you in January.
We'll see you in January. And give Dawn a hug from us.
Look forward to it.
Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Take care.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. Okay, and here we are.
Did you hear that? I'm on Amazon right now. I've got the first 6, but I'm thinking, you guys, you will, if you love mysteries, if you love a well-told story, you're going to love the John Jordan series.
Yeah.
He's developed this character so beautifully. I see him in a movie every time I read a book. I'm so impressed with Michael's writing, and we knew his writing before we got to know him. So go to Amazon.com and type in Michael Lister, L-I-S-T-E-R, and his first 6 in the John Jordan series is a box set, and you can have it on Kindle for 99 cents. You can't get much for 99 cents these days, much less that
kind of quality.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we first became fans of Michael Lister when we went to a library presentation he was doing, and it was about a novel in the, he does a number of series, and there's another character named Remington James, and the book was called Double Exposure, and we were just blown away by it. It, in fact, forgot to ask Michael, what's happening, because the Double Exposure has been optioned for a motion picture, and we don't know. We forgot to ask him where that's at.
We'll see if he still takes our calls after Hollywood gets a hold of him. Well, it was a pleasure to have an opportunity to talk to him on the radio and give you guys a chance to get to know him a little bit more.
Out of the news, we're going to be joined by 2 extraordinarily talented people. I keep saying extraordinarily talented.
It's a night of really talented people.
Yeah, we've got some talented friends.
And us.
Yeah,
we're just here, keeping the seats warm.
Josh Solomon and Erica Brett of the Empty Pockets will be joining us in studio and performing live, so stay with us. That will be us. I play the part of Steve.
Well, I guess that would be the Johnny part.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I'm working on that.
Yeah.
That's our buddy, Lisa McClowery. And that is partly personal. The three or four people texted tonight and said, what's up with Lisa? Follow her on her website because she's a busy, busy woman. Mm-hmm. And if you are a fan of Cher and you get a chance to see her doing her Cher show.
It's scary.
Holy
really,
moly.
Really, really scary. She's
yes,
good.
Yes, really good.
But speaking of really good and really, really talented people who we are.
We've got more of them, folks.
We have more of them in the studio with us. And they call Chicago home. And they are just back from a really fun tour over in Europe with Al Stewart. And we're talking about Josh Solomon and Erica Brett of The Empty Pockets. Thanks for joining us, guys.
It's so good to be here.
Hello. Good to see you both. It's great to be back in America.
You know, we've only seen you guys at holidays, I realize. 4th of July, yeah. New Year's Eve. It's always been holidays.
That makes us family, right? We're officially family.
That's right.
Except for that one time when we stalked you. You were doing a performance. Was it up in Skokie?
Yes.
And we
was wonderful.
On a hot Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With your full band.
A sweaty Sunday night in the grass in Skokie. That was a fun time.
And you're both born in Chicago, right?
Yes.
In the area, yes. Chicago area, right? Born and raised. And as we said, you are Chicago's own. I remember the first time we met you, we were turned on to your music through Nick DiGilio.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, wait a minute, why haven't they been on our show all these
the
years?
The hell?
Because you've been to... You've been together. Empty Pockets have been around for
a long time now. Yeah,
at least a week.
Over a decade.
More than a week. Yeah. Less than 20 years. Somewhere right. in between those two. We right. do love Nick DiGilio. We have been on his show a few times.
I think we broke a record once for the longest guests on his show ever.
Right? Because he has a very little attention span.
Yeah,
very
and we
short.
Had the full band, so we were really talking about all sorts of stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Hours with that guy.
That's awesome. That's the beauty of the all-night show, too.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And we love... Well, one of the fun things that we do now is sometimes we're up in the middle of the night and listening to Nick. And it's fun to experience that from the other side of the speaker.
And then rolling over and going to sleep. And it's like, this is heaven.
Yeah, we don't have to drive home now.
That's right.
Okay, we're good.
It's perfect.
So how long did you guys spend in Europe? Because I enjoyed your... Every day I look forward to your blogs and your posts.
Erica's a great social networker, and she kept us up to date. What were we, Aragon, 8 weeks?
Yeah,
something
I think
like that?
We lived in England for 33 nights.
That's right.
Wow.
Before we went, Erica and I went on to visit Rome, was unbelievable.
And didn't you hook up with family, too?
We did. My mother came. It was awesome.
Neat.
It's her favorite city, Rome. So we
oh, really?
We just are trying to... We just got home about a week ago, so we're trying to unpack the whole thing still. We really performed at some amazing venues.
Didn't you go from England out west to California?
We did. Well, to Oregon and Washington, where we took our first ever private plane.
Oh.
Have you ever done that before?
That is fancy.
I thought, okay, this will be nice. It was way better than taking a normal plane.
Can I just say, time out. Having been Buddy Holly at one point, why would you even get on a private plane?
Al Stewart literally said, I know you've been Buddy Holly before. I'm very scared to get on this private plane. We were okay.
Yes, you were.
It was a little freaky.
I know. That's what would freak me out.
And like, Josh gets airsick. So,
this was perfect. This was perfect. We had an unbelievable... Unbelievable time. We performed, I would say one of the highlights is we performed in Birmingham in the UK, and the venue we performed at, the Birmingham Town Hall, Buddy Holly performed on that stage.
And the Beatles.
And in 1845, Mendelssohn performed a piece on that stage.
He was the first person to play their organ. So there was so much history. It was coming out of our pores.
But Buddy Holly bit, to be on a stage that Buddy Holly played on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was like a career high. I don't know how we'll ever get over that.
I cried in the dressing room.
Well, I'm sure.
Well, let us back up a little bit and go back to your England tour. This was with Al Stewart. Yes, the Al Stewart from Year of the Cat.
Do it, Josh.
That's him. The Year of the Cat.
Yes. How did you guys begin? Because you've had a great year performing with a number of Kenny Loggins and a number of people.
Bad Company this year.
Yes, that's right.
Reverend Peyton, we loved performing with this year.
Yeah.
We just feel very lucky. You know, the music industry is such a mess in so many ways,
yeah.
as you know, that sometimes it feels like there's not much rhyme or reason for mm-hmm. anything. We just do the best we can.
But we've been making ourselves useful as a backing band. So that's sort
we
of
we have.
Our,
we've our tried
angle.
To angle ourselves that way. Mm-hmm. We started working with a guy named Gary Wright. You remember
oh,
Gary
sure.
Wright?
Sure.
Dreamweaver.
Yeah.
And,
I can give you the times on these songs because you're the cat when I'm an FM jock.
So
oh, thank
long.
God. I can go to the restroom.
Because yeah. what is it, like 8 minutes?
No. Yes. Yeah, it's like seven.
We, played the FM version. And it was like, oh, I can eat my lunch.
Right. You're the cat. You get that on. You yell your mom.
You're good.
Have lunch.
You got a little Jerry Rafferty behind it. Wow.
So we're, and then if you throw in Hey Jude, I mean, you're,
now.
You're
take
back
a nap.
To back.
That's
there
a whole,
you
your
go
whole shift
out
is
to
a
lunch.
Triple play.
So we feel so lucky. You know, we started touring with this guy, Gary Wright. And
now, did you know Gary Wright before?
No, we
they
just
called
got a phone
said,
call, basically.
Really?
And they said, we'd been sort of bugging our agents, like, hey, we could do this thing that the band yeah. used to do. I had seen The Last Waltz.
That is so cool.
And I was like, wait, the band backed up Dylan and all these
oh,
people?
Yeah.
And I thought,
and we did a couple one-offs. We did one with Kenny Loggins.
A long time ago.
And then we did one with Richie Furay from Buffalo Springfield. Mm-hmm. And it went well.
Because selling tickets is so difficult,
yes.
especially all around the world, yeah. that if we could tour, we thought, with somebody who's really selling tickets, even if you know, it's an older generation than us, we would take that.
Yeah.
We'd love that.
Good music is good music.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And we got along with Al great, and now he's taken us. I think we've done about 200 shows with Al Stewart.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He's our friend now.
Yeah.
Wasn't one of the shows, was it with Kenny Loggins, that it was a PBS thing, too?
Yeah. Oh, my God,
you
Steve.
Got to sing.
Steve, I got to do a duet with him, and I got to pretend I was Stevie Nicks for the night. Now, here's the only problem. It never aired.
Erica says she doesn't even remember it happening.
It was like my mind was in a vice controlled by PBS.
But I was there. And
you know
it very much happened in real life, I've assured Erica.
I saw pictures.
There
it
were
was
pictures.
Awesome. I mean, Michael yeah. McDonald's dressing room was next to mine, and he had a keyboard in his dressing room that was on the wall that we shared, and I could hear him going, "What a fool believes," like while we were
yeah.
getting makeup put on. It was wild.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
It'll air someday.
David Foster that night asked me to look something up. He goes, "You're young, look something up for me." Okay, sir.
What's that?
That's your
do you
David
know
Foster.
Who he's married to?
Yes, I do.
She's
and she's gorgeous.
American
Catherine
Idol
McPhee.
Girl from the musical
young.
TV
yes.
show.
Yes. Why didn't she look at?
I think she's yeah. she wasn't there. If she was there, I would have been. I would have been hanging out with her.
McPhee.
She's younger
Catherine.
Than she's younger
McPhee.
Than me,
yes. Yeah.
She's pretty young.
Yeah. Yes. She's great.
Oh, that's funny. I was like, you're young. Look it up.
Yeah. I was like, all right. And then Jimmy Messina talked about bus tires in my dressing room for about 10 minutes.
Oh gosh.
What ply you should use and such.
That's yeah. true. I heard that.
We're going to take a quick break and come back. We have Empty Pockets with us in the studio. If you don't know them, do yourself a favor and stick around.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN. And in the studio with us, we have some extraordinary talents. I keep using that word, but it's true. Josh and Erica from the Empty Pockets.
In this day and age, it's not used all that much, so just keep using it.
Okay.
So we have the extraordinary.
It's not bothering me.
Josh.
And as somebody once said, it ain't bragging if you done it.
That's right.
So there you go.
So Josh and Erica of the Empty Pockets are with us in the studio. And by the way, somebody texted, yes, they are married.
Yes.
I don't know, Erica. You've been talking for 15 minutes and someone wants to run away with you. So
that's what they texted? They want to run away with Erica? You made it sound different than that.
And Josh is saying to them fighting words.
What happened there? Text myself.
I think we should shut up and
yes.
let you guys do whatever.
Whatever
it is you would like to do.
Oh, excellent. I have a special song for you guys today. I think this is a debut. I believe we've never played this song on any airwaves.
Are we ready for a... You know, an exclusive appearance
yes.
of a new song.
Okay,
yes.
So Thanksgiving's over. Mm-hmm. It's finally Christmas time. And we write Christmas songs. And we thought, let's write a Christmas song about something totally original.
Something that no one has written a song about.
Brand
before.
New Christmas legend. So this is about the biggest party that no one talks about. It's the day after Christmas. So this is called Party at the North Pole. Here we go. It's the day
After Christmas, all the elves are sleeping late. The reindeer stretch their legs out by the magic workshop gate. It's a massive celebration up in the ice and snow. It's the day after Christmas Day. Party at the North Pole. It's December 26th, Mrs. Claus is drinking beer. Blitzen's giving sleigh rides to the elves who scream and cheer. And all the snowmen put on a pantomime show. It's the day after Christmas Day. Party at the North Pole. Do-do, do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do-do, do-do. Santa snores through the afternoon, wakes up with a start, then silence fills the room. One, two, three. The big guy laughs with ho, 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 says there's nothing to fear. It's the day after Christmas Day. Party now the next year. Do-do, do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do, do-do. It's the day after Christmas, Rudolph's leading hokey pokey. The elves pass round a sign-up sheet for midnight karaoke. The public's not invited, so there's no way to go to the day after Christmas Day. Party at the North Pole. Do-do, do-do-do. It's a party at the North Pole. Do-do, do-do-do. It's a party at the North Pole. Do-do, do-do-do. It's a party at the North Pole. Do-do, do-do-do. It's a party at the North Pole.
I love
that. That is fun.
Yay. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
It's quirky.
It's adorable.
That's real. We did a lot of research to put that song together.
I bet you did.
It's a hokey pokey. You don't get the hokey pokey enough these days.
No. I wonder if Lady Gaga has put hokey pokey into any of her lyrics. We'll have to look that up.
That's the B-side to Poker Face.
Right.
How quick did that song come to you guys?
We wrote it at a pool in California.
Of course you did.
Did we really?
We did.
Then probably relatively fast. I wonder what you'd think about this, too. You write songs.
Yeah.
I think the good ones tend to come out fast. Sometimes I feel like when you're laboring and you finally finish it, there's it's a disappointing.
It's overworked in that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a dough. Like a bread.
Too much.
Yeah, you worked it too hard.
You worked it too much, and it's tough. It's like you can't touch it too much.
Well, along that line, there is one song... I shouldn't admit this.
Uh-oh.
One song I have been working on for longer than Johnny and I have been married.
It's over 35 years.
And it just can't finish.
Because it was a case where the first two verses were like, yeah! But that I knew it needed to go in another direction, and I keep trying to take it there. And
you wake up in the night and go, I think I've got it. 35 years later.
I know the feeling.
That's the mark of a true songwriter. I love that.
Especially if you get two big pieces quick like that, a verse and a verse, and now you're locked in.
Yeah, it's something's there. I feel it.
Yes, I know that feeling.
Sometime I will play it for you guys and see if you can come
run
up with
it.
Ooh, I like that.
I'll give you the title.
It'll be a collab.
Yeah, what's the title?
Me, the Cat, and the Six String Blues.
Ooh, and he's got a cat. It's got a cat in it, which is...
And a guitar. And the blues.
We do well with cats.
Yeah. It's got a cat in it. It's good.
You guys do really well with Christmas. I mean, I was bemoaning the fact that I wish there was new Christmas music every year. One of my pet peeves is someone doing all the chestnuts and just, okay.
So many chestnuts.
Oh, God.
It does feel like some famous person checks into a studio at 10 a.m. one day.
Yeah.
At 3 p.m., They're out of that studio, and there's this album that is done.
And they know it's going to sell.
Right, and then they know that it's going to sell.
Somebody else
well
arranged
enough.
It.
And I foolishly buy it, and then I put like five or six
gets
of them on.
They're on the Today Show. It gets
and it's
a ton of airplay.
It's true.
And then you guys came along, and you breathe new life into these Christmas songs. And I'm like, yes, there is hope.
Yeah.
I'm all about new Christmas music.
Good. What? Not nude, just new.
Oh, well, I said nude. What did you say?
Nude.
I'm sorry.
I said nude.
He said nude. I said new.
You said new. I see. I like your idea as well.
Speaking of which, I'm going to talk about new Christmas music. I'm going to suggest one if you don't have it. Rodney Crowell's Christmas Everywhere came out last year.
Yes.
It is wonderful.
Okay, cool.
And it gets a little dark at times.
Oh, it gets very dark
at times. Which is okay.
Christmas gets dark.
It does. And people need to realize they're not alone, that when they have these moments where they're like, you know what, this is just too much for me.
Some people don't get along with their family, or they don't speak to people anymore, and it can be a really tough time.
Yeah.
We do a lot of jamming to write, and we did a drunk Santa Claus jam, which I think ended up too dark to
Nate got really, he got a little too far.
So there's a balance somewhere.
But speaking of Christmas, the blatant plug light just started flashing.
I see that.
You guys, Christmas, space, details.
We're going to be in Evanston, Illinois for our favorite show of the year.
Evanston, Illinois. Good detail.
Thank you.
Friday, December 6th. We're at Space in Evanston. There's only standing room tickets left. But
I was just going to say, but we love that place so much. Standing room is cool.
It is.
There are a lot of really good venues in the Chicago area.
Yes.
We love Space. One of the many reasons, the acoustics, and it's a listening room.
Yes.
The audience that goes there isn't going to be standing up and dancing. They're going to be listening and appreciating what you're doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
And if you're standing, there's a little ledge you can lean on.
Yeah.
So when you get your drink, you can still lean.
Yes. It's not like a mosh pit.
What a difference that little ledge makes.
Doesn't
when you're
it
standing.
Now?
It really does.
We were talking earlier about having general admission tickets, which meant we got to sit up by the stage. And I thought, what? Why haven't I been here all the time?
Yeah.
They're throwing picks out at me. This is wonderful.
We talk on tour. It's funny. We talk about general admission. There's the pros and cons to it.
Yes.
You know, as a performer, when we're on a tour that's sold a lot of tickets, one of the cool things about general admission is that everybody waits in line.
Because, you want to get a good seat.
You know, but
and you get to see them in line.
And every once in a while you're at a place that's so fancy that the best seats are bought by, almost like the Super Bowl, are bought by people that don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and with a general admission show, it's sorted by who cares the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because that's who's willing to wait in line. We did a couple of those on the Al Stewart tour, and that was fun. Maybe just two of them in Europe, but it was
very cool.
By
the way, text coming in, that's a hit. Let's make it a hit.
I
love that. We need more Christmas music.
Oh, you guys are the best.
The Empty Pockets are with us in the studio, and you mentioned Nate. Danny and Nate are also in the band, right?
We switched drummers to a wonderful guy named Adam. So Danny's not our drummer anymore. Adam is, but good memory. But Nate is just not here today.
He's in Pennsylvania with his other family.
That's cool.
He's with the wife and their fam. Hi, Nate.
And he went to Pennsylvania, so he's celebrating the holidays and getting a lot of Scrapple.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He actually orders Scrapple. It's
he does it just to make a point.
It's gray gelatinous.
I love Scrapple.
No.
I
was raised on Scrapple. My grandmother made Scrapple. Just Scrapple and little syrup.
Okay,
I'm going to send you guys a link to a song by another Chicago fabulous artist, Robbie Foulkes.
Oh yeah.
Did the Scrapple song.
Have you ever heard the Scrapple song?
No.
Oh gosh. It's
wonderful.
It really defines it. Gray gelatinous meat.
For those of you out there who have not eaten Scrapple,
don't do it.
Don't do it.
That's right.
If it is cooked correctly, it's wonderful.
If it's beautifully prepared.
Yes. In another state.
It just sort of sounds to me like you're saying, like,
I know.
You've never had pigeon until cooked perfectly.
You just torch that Spam and it's really tasty.
Sit tight. We'll come right
back. Or sit loose, whatever.
We've mastered that. The Empty Pockets coming out.
I got the coffee,
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and you're listening to The Empty Pockets, and they are nice enough to hang out in the studio with us. You want to do a blatant plug for that album, too, if people want to get a copy of it?
Oh, we'd love to. Well, that's our new album, Tanglewoods, out at the beginning of this year. Get all of our merchandise at TheEmptyPockets.com. It's The Empty Pockets. We're also here plugging our December 6th show at Space in Evanston.
Standing room.
But standing room only.
That's
full
good.
Band. Mm-hmm. Holiday music. Our original music. It's going to be a really fun time.
Yeah, we're excited.
So Bill the Trucker wants to know, what's the story behind Empty Pockets?
So, you know, when you're 19 and naming a band, you don't think of it that hard. It's just sort of, you name it.
Yeah.
And now I have a lot of fake stories. Like, sometimes I say, it's like that Paul Simon song, Diamonds on the Soles of Your Shoes. And he says empty pockets in it. But that's not the real reason.
Not true.
Or it could be from that song, God Bless the Child.
Yep. Empty pockets, they don't mean a thing.
Right. But
I'm buying every one of these. I'm
yeah,
like,
I should just name. But it's just like, we had a million names, and we were like, we have to name it before we do this gig.
Well, you have to acknowledge it was based on Sam Sham and the Pharaohs, or Buddy Holly and the Crickets, that sort of like old...
Right, so it was Josh Solomon in the Empty Pockets. And then we were like, man, this Josh Solomon thing is real biblical. So we got the Josh out of there. I mean, Solomon all O's is like, whoa, what kind of show are you putting on?
And then, where's your technical
right,
coat?
Exactly. And we close every... We were just closing every show with Close Every Door. And we added Erica to the band, and she's such a great singer. She's taken over every show. People are very impressed.
Taking it over.
So calling us Josh and the Empty Pockets when Erica sings the song is truly stupid. So we changed it. I thought we should just change it to And the Empty Pockets. Just cut the Josh out.
But Erica didn't go for that.
And
at
it
all.
Didn't look good on a poster.
Correct.
Yeah. I think And Empty Pockets is still hilarious. Well, it's amazing.
I still like it. It certainly would get attention.
Right. So, I don't know. I don't know about
Bozo
anything.
Bozo and the Empty Pockets.
Bozo.
Oh, I know. I don't think I've ever asked.
Do you guys know I was on the Grand Prize game?
I've seen the photo.
Really? You were actually on the game?
I got like called to do the Bozo Buckets.
And?
I got to bucket 3. I was only 5 or 6.
Oh, 5. Wow.
Bucket 3 is pretty legit.
Yeah.
It was very exciting.
Yeah. And you got stuff?
I won the Teddy Ruxpin. That was pretty ubiquitous at the time. I think I won tickets to the Sears Tower.
That's huge.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Teddy Ruxpin. That is big. I don't think I ever asked you guys, when Erica joined the Empty Pockets, were you married at that point?
Oh, no.
Oh,
we had just been dating.
Really?
Yeah, she snuck on into the band.
So she sealed the deal.
That is not what happened. I said, I don't want to Yoko Ono this one bit. And the boys had to choose. The boys chose.
Now, Erica's a great band member. She's great at being in a band.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's an amazing time. You have to have good band members.
Oh, gosh.
We love our new drummer, Adam, and Nate's such a great band member. We see each other so much. And
don't forget Daniel, our engineer.
Our engineer, our sound guy.
Very cool.
Produces all our albums and tours with us live.
Writes with us.
He's a little five-person family.
Little band family. Yeah.
Do either of you keep a diary? Because this is such a cool time in your life.
You know, I think about that a lot. We should be doing that. We don't, but I think that sometimes my Instagram, you know, I'm keeping a lot of track on social media.
It's definitely the closest.
The
it doesn't go with my sort of personality.
Yeah. I was trying to take a lot of pictures because, like you said, people are really enjoying being on the tour sort of vicariously through us. So
my favorite pictures, by the way, were the ones taken from the stage to the empty house.
So cool.
Yeah,
you see how massive the place is.
In fact, I think it was one of the last theaters you played where it was just you on stage.
The Glasgow shot.
Oh,
that shot was just wonderful.
All these pictures that we're talking about can be seen. We're at the Empty Pockets on Instagram,
yep.
And Erica has taken a lot of people have taken photos.
But Josh, I'm like on the street and we're like doing something fun and I'm just like click, 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 click. And he's like, stop it. Be with me in the moment.
I don't love taking photos because but I get it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in retrospect, right. But in the moment, I'm always like, let's just experience this awesome thing.
He's like, can't we experience it with our eyes? And I'm like, no, we can. But we also have to experience it for the fans.
Yes.
For the fans.
Do it for the fans.
For the fans, my screen just scrolled. It's a truck driver named Bill.
Bill.
He was the one. Yes. I think he was the one that asked about the story behind Empty Pockets. Oh, by the way, somebody just said, would you just hush up and let him sing? That's subtle. So we'll just hush up and let you
sing. So there, we're going to hush up.
Our show at Space, we do two songs. We do like an hour and a half of talking.
It's
getting
cold.
This is going well. This is how they want it. It's getting cold. So we're going to do a song about Erica's snow boots. Let's give it a try.
Let's not wait till sunlight. The timing now feels just right. I'm coming over to you. Darling, go put on your snowshoes. On second thought, let's snowshoes, not where we're going to. We'll start before the dawn and waste the day. Heralded by wispy clouds of gray. If you get to choose where and when you can be, well, I hope you choose right here and now with me. Baby, why resist temptation? On a make-believe vacation, there's no in-between. Darling, you can hog the pillows. Pretend the plants are willows, the dishwashers are stream. We might sleep right through the afternoon, oh yeah. Wake before that rising city moon. If you get to choose where and when you can be, well, I hope you choose right here and now with me.
Ooh. Oh, Tenenbaum, oh, Tenenbaum. Tenenbaum, oh, Tenenbaum.
Whoa, baby, let's not wait till sunlight. The timing now feels just right. I'm coming over to you, oh. Darling, go put on your snowshoes. On second thought, let's no shoes, not where we're going to. Yeah, yeah, we'll start before the dawn and we'll waste the day. Heralded by wispy clouds of gray. If you get to choose
where and when you can be. Well, I hope you choose right here and now with me, with me.
Don't stop.
That is so good.
I want the FM version.
Oh, boy.
I actually tried to take a picture of my arm so you could see the goosebumps when you're singing.
I was like, oh, it's better than crying.
I love that.
Oh, that's
God,
too good.
I love that song. Thanks. I love seeing you guys sing it, too. And you will sing it at Space,
yes,
right?
Certainly. Yeah, our goal is to have a bunch of songs. I know it's just for the Christmas time that I like the idea of a Christmas song or a holiday song, like what's a sleigh ride? You know, sleigh ride is nothing explicitly Christmassy. It's just like seasonal.
That's right.
I really like that concept.
Yes.
Where it's basically like it's cold and stuff. You know, all that. That's legit.
So much snow.
You know, all the non holiday, because
our neighbors still have their lights
right,
on.
Right, regardless
of
your religion. You know, we were both raised. It's weird. Coincidence. Both of our fathers are Jewish. Both of our mothers are Catholic.
Mm. We're cashews.
We're cashews. We're
okay.
Both cashews.
Okay.
So
and
it's
nuts,
that's a technical term.
But there's something so universal about the holiday season that's not religious in nature at all.
Mm.
It's just American,
right?
Chicago-y coldness.
And plenty of the best Christmas songs are written by Irving Berlin and a handful of
absolutely
wonderful Jews.
We're trying to take that Irving Berlin White Christmas thing forward.
Take it real seriously over here.
We make full Jew together.
Let's hold hands. Let's hold hands.
We're holding hands in the studio.
Happy Hanukkah. Wait, now let's hold the other hands.
And now,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, we did it.
Okay. On that note, I think we're going to take a break, and who knows what'll happen, but don't touch that dial. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN, and we're just talking with Josh and Erica from the Empty Pockets, talking off the air about different song ideas. And there's one, I should dig this up sometime. There's a thing we did, it might have been in the mid-80s.
Yes.
We had our listeners help us write a song.
Ooh. Really?
And the song title was The Post-Holiday Blues Blues. And we just had people call in with, okay, it's a day or two after Christmas. Now, what are they feeling? And people called in, and we just took the lines and wrote a song that way. I've got it around someplace.
It was really fun because I remember we started with, I stepped on the scale and I can't see my feet.
That's got to be a caller, yeah.
Yeah.
And we all went,
my credit card debt is like all this.
And one of the, something about I can't see my footies or something like that. It was just
we have to get together and help Steve finish that 35-year-old song, and
you got
to
do a jam. Sounds like
there you go. You guys like guitars.
Listeners are loving the music tonight, and thank you all for tuning in. Even those of you who are sitting in parking lots because stores close at midnight.
For those of you who may be just tuning in, go to theemptypockets.com,
and you can see
the Empty Pockets at Space on
December 6th.
Friday, December 6th.
Yes. Oh, that's a
Stanley
Friday.
Stanley Room only.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's like yesterday, a week from yesterday.
Well, a week from
today.
Today.
Is it Friday today?
Today's Friday. Josh is like literally.
It's a week from today. It's a little.
A light bulb went over his head. He was like, whoa.
I watched his eyes.
I thought it was Saturday.
Thus the term Black Friday.
I've been lost. I'm lost.
And that's why people are sitting in their cars. They've only
got
10 more minutes before stores close.
I had no idea what was happening.
You're not a big shopper, apparently.
Apparently not.
Okay.
I have this chord to say about that.
Before you guys get out of here, during the break, I selfishly said, can you play my favorite song?
Mm-hmm.
And you agreed to do that. And I promise not to cry, so.
We will play it. This is called Snow Day. Shall we, Air?
Let's do it, babe.
Like a snow day, we'll never make it out of here. And on this snow day, you're stuck inside with me, my dear. Freeway from the suburbs down to Lakeshore Drive. They close the tollway. all the way to 55. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere soon. Snowflakes keep floating by, drifts at least 10 feet high. Our secret snow day, it's just you and I. Let's stumble out there, making angels in our own backyard. Cars are going nowhere, they're slipping down the boulevard. Cold wind is biting, reach out, touch your frozen hair. Snowballs are flying, the kids are out in Palmer Square. We ain't going nowhere, we ain't going nowhere soon. Snow is drifting by, drifts at least 10 feet high. Our private snow day, it's just you and I. Snowing the whole day through, gray skies that fade to blue. Our secret snow day, it's just me and you. It's still our snow day. Make it out of beer. La 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 la, snow day. We'll never make it out of here. Whoa, snow day. You're stuck inside of me, my dear. Stay with me today.
Stay with me today.
We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of you. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of you. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of you. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of you. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of you. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of you. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of you. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of you. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of here. We'll never make it. We'll never make it out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank,
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Christmas,
we love hanging
present
with you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for being had.
Happy holidays. You guys are the
best. Oh, my gosh. Dean in Indiana says, what a fabulous evening. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, and then the earlier texter I told you, he said his digital downloads are scratched.
I love that line.
And new music. New music. He want, and many want to know about your new music. And Tanglewood would be your latest.
Yes.
Tanglewood's
right?
Our latest. We're hard at work on a brand new album.
But didn't you just do something with a compilation album?
We did a live album after Tanglewood's this year, and we just released like what we are calling the Americana sampler.
You know how Elektra Records in like the 50s and 60s did those folk samplers? It's a, it's
they did
akin
it for
to that.
Free a lot of times with like a shipping only thing.
Oh, nice.
That's what we're doing.
Cool.
So it's a big way that we like get new fans these days.
You can just jump on our web store and you can grab the free sampler and check us out.
Yeah. And we got new music in the works. I don't have that much to say about it yet, except 2 points. We have brand new music. I think the album's gonna be called Maybe Next Time, which is, I think, is gonna be a really cool song. And the other thing is, we have a song that I'm very in love with. I saw a headline on a local news station that said tense car tab confrontation, and I just loved that series of words.
Tense. So like car tab confrontation.
So like a bar tab, but like a car tab.
And yeah. Al Stewart says on stage all the time, his rules of songwriting are write something that no one else has said before. There's no way that's in a song. If tense car tab confrontation's in a song, I'm quitting music.
Oh, you didn't hear the old Hokey Carmichael version?
The Willie Nelson tune?
Yeah.
Do you have one little lick of that to share with us?
I'll give you a little. I'll give you a little lick of this. Here we go. I saw the smoke in her eye. So I was given fair warning, but I neglected to see. And that was all this morning. It started as a conversation. He smiled indelicately as he handed you the printout, and it obviously filled you with rage. But it was his explanation that began a tense cartel confrontation.
I love that.
That's fabulous. I mean, you just suck us right in at the beginning, and I'm like, what's going to happen?
Too cool. We got a new album trying to follow Al Stewart's rules of writing.
I love it. Thank you, Al Stewart.
Yeah, thanks, Al.
So after the first of the year, are you thinking you're going to be doing any traveling? I mean, are you?
We are. It's all on our website, themdpockets.com. Eric, we do some acoustic stuff like we're doing now. So Eric and I are going with Al Stewart to the Southeast.
Florida,
we're doing Florida.
I
bunch
believe.
Three dates in Florida.
What part of Florida?
One date in Georgia. We have a bunch of stuff coming up, actually.
And then we're going on a cruise ship. It's formerly the Moody Blues cruise ship, but it's now the On the Blue cruise ship.
That leaves from Florida, too. That's a Miami
Guys,
cruise.
Guess who's going to be on that cruise ship?
Hmm. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Art Garfunkel.
Oh, jeez.
Cool.
A lot of great
excited.
Bands.
Really?
Wow.
Now, Al was technically his roommate, and the question is Art Garfunkel too cool to interact with Al Stewart?
Oh. So like I'm going to say yes.
I agree.
He's
got to
be. Like, the zombies are on the ship, and,
oh, really?
And Colin Blunstone is not too cool. He hangs out with us all the time.
Yeah,
Last time we were on this ship.
He's a doll.
I was at a buffet with Rick Derringer.
Oh, jeez.
You know, and we
saw Dave Mason hitting the slots.
Alone at
That's
the slots.
Funny.
And Todd Rundgren was hanging
oh
out.
My
it was
gosh.
A lot of. So we're excited about that.
Wow.
It's a lot of touring. We're a live band. That's what we do.
Now, when you go to Florida, are you going to fly there, or are you going to drive so you can go up through
Georgia?
Probably
fly these two, but a lot of times we do drive it as well.
Because we're going to invite you up to our part of Florida, because we'll be there, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God, let's hang out.
We'll hang out.
Yes,
yeah.
Come to the Panda.
Double date
the northwestern Gulf Coast, Panama City Beach.
Right.
Tons of
And your house is okay, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know what? It inspired a lot of music, and the hurricane last year inspired a lot of creativity.
That's right.
There are books that are coming out, songs that are being written.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing.
You can drive down some blocks, and you will see these trees that have been knocked over and just the stumps of trees. And people have drawn wonderful faces.
And carves and carvings.
Characters.
Made them into works of art.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Just incredible. Wonderful stuff.
Like you guys, thank you so much for being here.
We
it's
love
always,
you guys.
Thank you so
love
much.
You.
You made my night,
Yay.
My Christmas. You did my song. So now go home.
Happy holidays. And we'll see you New Year's Eve.
Absolutely.
Yes. See you New
Year's Eve.
Right.
Now you know how to get here.
Party.
You know
Yay.
How to get here. We'll be here.
We'll bring snacks.
Okay, sounds good. We'll,
okay,
we'll feed you too. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
And again, the final blatant plug at Space.
Friday night. Friday night.
December 6th.
Be there or
be there.
Square.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
We got a break coming up in the next hour. We will be talking computers and lots of cyber stuff with Patrick Crispin. So stick around. You can text or talk 312-981-7200.
It's all about, and you'd make a deal with the devil himself if he'd just help you out. You've run out of hope and you feel like a dope. You don't know which way to go. Well, don't sing the blues. I got real good news. There's help on the radio. So welcome to Website Wednesday with Johnny. So welcome.
Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. I know it's not Wednesday, but we had a lot of people saying, well, if you're going to have Petra Crispin on, would you play the Website Wednesday Night song? So we decided to play. This was a different version of the Website Wednesday Night song.
Yep.
And because Bob Young, who was doing that song, was nice enough to give us a couple different versions to choose from.
And we have people saying, I know it's not Wednesday night. They're texting in saying, this was my favorite show on WGN. And I love this one. It was a favorite of mine as a teenager. And now I'm all grown up.
Okay.
We've all grown up on the radio.
Yes.
Well, one of our cyber squad and our longest...
The chief Cyber Squad member.
Dr. Patrick Crispin. He was a mere college student when he first joined us on the radio. He's now Director of Educational Technology and Assistant Professor of Clinical Medical Education, Keck School of Medicine of USC. And he's also the daddy of our baby, our grandbaby,
yeah.
Joseph. And he is Patrick Crispin. Dr. Crispin, how are you tonight?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. How are you guys doing? By the way, great show tonight. I've really enjoyed listening to this.
You've been forced to listen to it thanks to the baby.
True story. We've been streaming it on our Google Home, and it was time for Joey to take his bath, so we stopped the stream. And apparently Joey, he's 3 and a half, he wasn't real happy with us turning off his granddaughter Gigi. So he shouted out, okay, Google, play the radio, and it reconnected to the stream, so we got to listen to the show even more.
Okay, Joey, I love it. And he does recognize our voices then when we're talking.
He does.
Cool. Well, see, I...
Especially when he hears Donald Duck.
Yeah, I know. I was told that he perked up when Donald said hi to him. Well,
He didn't understand. He was watching the video stream and didn't realize that you couldn't see him. So he's saying, hi, Gigi. Hi, Grandpa.
So we had to say hi to him, too, earlier.
Yeah,
that's
of course.
Very sweet. Thank you. And thank you for joining us tonight, because people, from the moment we said we're going to be on the radio, they said, is there a chance that we'll get Dr. Crispin on the radio? We said, well, yeah, if he'll take our calls. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there really is. From the and we should mention, we're going to cover some of the hot tech ideas, avoiding Amazon counterfeit items, and the approaching demise of Windows 7.
But Patrick, before we get into the nitty gritty, we were talking earlier about the fact that we'll be here on New Year's Eve and we'll slip into the year 2020. And we said, egads, it was 20 years ago that we were dealing with the fear of Y2K.
Yeah.
And remember,
I
you were
remember
here.
That.
Oh, my gosh. And we got the fanny packs. It had the light stick and the M&Ms and the bottle of water. And they said, here.
And it has been so long. So, Patrick, refresh me. Was it that we were going from the 19 blah, blah, blahs to the 20 blah, blah, blahs? And there was some question about whether computers would handle that. And didn't both Microsoft and, I believe, Max, they issued some patches and things and updates and
it was actually a really big thing. It turned out we think of it now as being a big dud, but what was going on was computers at the time really had to deal with dates by month, month, day, day, year, year. And they'd only have two digits for the year. So what happens when you go from 1999 to 2000? Well, basically, your 99 becomes 00, and a lot of really important things in your computer could stop working. You could stop doing payroll. It's like, okay, well, the payroll isn't due for another 100 years, so I'm not going to run it. So what ended up happening, and the reason why it wasn't a very big thing is it was a big thing. Companies across the United States spent, conservatively, between $100 billion and $600 billion trying to reprogram all their computers so that they wouldn't crash at midnight. Illinois government agencies, I think, ended up having a budget of like $200 million to fix this issue.
Yeah.
Chicago spent like $55 million. O'Hare had $9 million that they spent on this. Just a huge amount. So we knew that there were fixes out there, but nobody knew what we didn't know. So everybody was kind of panicked on the night of New Year's Eve going, are the computers going to shut down? Is it going to be just the end of the world? And the answer was no. In fact, if I remember, there were only like two things that happened in Chicago. There was like an energy management system at one of the federal buildings downtown that stopped working.
Yeah.
And the wind shear detection system at O'Hare didn't work. And that was it across the entire city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. But the reason why it wasn't a big thing is it was a big thing. People spent millions of dollars fixing this and getting ready for this. And we're now about to go through this again. I hope that we're going to be on the air when this happens on January 19th, 2038.
38?
There he is, what, 2038. It's at 314 Universal Time. It's the Unix epoch. And what happened was when Unix was written, they said, you know, and instead of doing month, month, day, day, year, year, because that could be, you know, there could be some weird, you know, some country could decide that we're going to change the month or whatever. The Unix programmer said, you know what, why don't we just use seconds? We'll take an arbitrary date. We'll say January 1st, 1970. And we'll just count the number of seconds from January 1st, 1970. And that's how to tell the time. And it's actually really simple. It's a pretty elegant system. The problem is that on a 32-bit system, we're going to run out of numbers at 314.07, wow. January 19th, 2038.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Well, on that happy note, we're going to take a break and we'll come right back. If you have questions that you want to sneak in here for Patrick Crispin, Dr. Patrick Crispin, if you've listened to Website Wednesday night, you know what it's all about. You ain't born knowing this stuff, so don't be shy. If you have a question about upgrading your system or if you're looking for a tech gift and you want some insight into what's hot and what's not.
We're going to talk about tech gifts and about the demise of Windows 7 and how to avoid being taken. Whether it's Amazon or Walmart, whatever website that is selling something that they're not really selling. They just want your money and they want your information.
Well, they are selling, but it's a fake. But anyway, we've got a lot of ground to cover with Patrick Crispin, so stay with us on WGN.
This time each year, in all of his splendor, Saint Nicholas appears. There's children singing joy to the world as we start celebrating, our hearts fill with cheer.
Happy Christmas, everybody, have a happy It's the time of the season. The holidays are here. So make a New Year's resolution and say a prayer. Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a happy New Year.
Well, that's a sweet little surprise. Ashley, what's that all about?
Isn't it so pretty? We actually, while the show was going on, we got a call from a guy named Ken. He works with TVRadio.com, and he was an agent for this award-winning composer. I'll pull up the name, and I'm going to butcher the name.
I'll
tell you that.
I think we know Ken, too. Did Ken say he knows us?
No, he said he loves the show. He's listening before. He knew who you guys were, but he was like, if you guys want to hear a brand new Christmas song,
it sounds like it should be on Broadway, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? And he was like, you'll be the first radio station to actually play it. And he sent me the link via email, and I was like, wow, this sounds so beautiful.
And what's the title of it?
The title is Merry Christmas, Everybody. Mm-hmm. And let me pull up the name of the man who composed it, because the man who composed it, I'm sliding the microphone over, is composed by Academy Award winning, I'm going to butcher this, Frankie Privati.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked on the
Dirty Dancing
soundtrack. The soundtrack to Dirty Dancing.
Very
and,
nice.
He was just like, hey, if you guys want to play it, it's a brand new tune. It's a fun Christmas.
Sweet.
Fun
well, thank
sweet
you.
Christmas song.
Thank you, Ken, for turning us on to that. As we were saying earlier, we want new Christmas music, and there you go. And that sounds very traditional, but at the same time, it sounds fresh, and sounds like some Andrew Lloyd Webber should be singing that or having his people do that.
It does sound very Broadway-esque, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
great. Yeah. Well, welcome into the last hour of this 6-hour extravaganza.
This is going by too fast.
I know. And we wanted to sneak in a segment of Website Wednesday night on a Friday night, Saturday morning, the last Saturday of November, believe it or not. And our chief cyber squad member, Dr. Patrick Crispin, is with us on the line. And we've got so much ground to cover. Wow. So should we start off with... Let's get the ugly stuff out of the way, and then we'll talk about the fun stuff like tech gifts, Patrick. Can we talk about Windows 7? Because when we mentioned it earlier, people said, I'm at Best Buy now buying that laptop for my kids for Christmas because after Christmas, theirs won't work anymore.
But I want to start with one of the questions that a lot of people have had. If they have Windows 7 and they're going to upgrade to Windows 10, can they just do it on the same computer, or do they need to save their documents and everything on a separate drive and then do a completely separate install? Because I believe it was just about a week or so ago that Microsoft was sending out one of their umpteen thousand notifications. And so I clicked on this, and I went to the site, and I was talking about this with some other people. Microsoft doesn't recommend that you upgrade
yeah, of course.
From a previous version. So what do you know,
what do you
and
think?
What do you think?
And the reason why is every time you upgrade, there's a chance of something going wrong. The other thing is that Windows 7 has been around now 9 years. So if you have a really, really, really old computer, your new computer might not, or your old computer may not have the firepower necessary to even run Windows 10. You'll need a 1 gigahertz processor. You'll need at least a gig of RAM. And technically, if you're going to go for 64-bit, you need 2 gigs of RAM. You're going to need about 20 gigs of hard drive space just free for this and a decent graphics card. You know, and the thing is, then you have to go out and buy the software, buy Windows 7, which is, you know, $139. And
so it's no longer free the way it was for a while.
It is no longer for free.
Right.
Nope.
Right.
You have to buy it now. So it's $139 at Microsoft for the home edition, $129 at Amazon. If you want to get the pro edition, it's $199. And at that price point, you're getting really close to the price of a new computer.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a great computer. You know, for about $250, you can get a desktop that's, well, lousy. It's just a terrible desktop, but it's a desktop, and Windows 10 will be on it. Spend about $500, you get a pretty decent one. $750, you're going to get an exceptional one. And that's the thing, is that the end of life for Windows 7, it's coming up on January 14th. And what that means is after January 14th, there are going to be no more patches, no more security updates. You can't get any support from Microsoft. You are on your own.
And let me hold you there for a second, because we should really emphasize, when we talk end of life, will you be able to use Windows 7 after January 14th? Yes. Will it be safe? That's a whole different question.
No, as a matter of fact, Windows 7 was really susceptible to the WannaCry type of viruses. And I think you're going to see a lot of viruses that are out there that are going to be targeting Windows 7, because there are millions and millions of Windows 7 machines still out there.
Am I correct? I want to say it was within the past 5 months, some statistics saying something like there's still 60% of the computers out there are Windows 7 based. Is that true?
Yeah, there are a lot of people who have not upgraded. I'm not sure it's exactly that number anymore. I think a lot of people have gotten the message, hey, it's time to upgrade, but there are still a lot of Windows 7 devices out there. By the way, if you're a business and you have Windows 7 Professional or Windows 7 Enterprise, and you've got to be a company for this, look for something from Microsoft on Monday. They said a couple weeks ago that they're willing to sell you an extended lifespan and give you an extra 2 years, but you're going to have to pay through the nose for it. Not going to be available for home users. You can't sit there and say, hey, can I pay Microsoft a couple extra bucks to keep Windows 7 support? But if you're a company and you just can't move yet, you just need to keep your Windows 7 machines working for another 2 years, look at Microsoft.com on Monday, on the 1st. They should be posting how much it's going to cost. Prepare for sticker shock, because really? Microsoft, mm-hmm. you know, Microsoft didn't become the behemoth it is without making a lot of money.
Well, also, for the average home user, regardless of what the price is for a Windows 10 computer, mm-hmm. what is the safest thing to do to make sure you still have and will have access to your documents on that have already been created on Windows 7? What's the best way to do that?
You shouldn't have any problems if you do an upgrade. What I do recommend is, if you can afford it, go out and get an external hard drive and back up everything on your computer. It's always a good idea to have actually two different backups for your system. One that's sort of there, and another one, if you trust it, in the cloud. I use Backblaze. There's Carbonite and a whole bunch of other places, but have some backup. So if the end of the world happens and you put in the Windows 10 installer and your computer bursts into flames, you haven't lost anything. You've still got a backup that you can restore from.
Well, speaking of making sure that you safeguard things, I was having an interesting conversation. You know our friends Gary and Sue, and yeah. they picked us up when we were coming back from Florida, and I was talking with Gary about getting a new computer, and what we think one of the things we're going to be doing is getting a Windows 10 laptop. That's separate from what we're going to do with our desktop and everything else. But Gary brought up an interesting point, because we have solid-state drives.
Yes.
He's looking at getting a computer. I think he said it was a Dell. It would have a solid-state drive, but also have a magnetic drive. So you keep your documents on the magnetic drive, and you use the solid-state drive basically as the engine to quickly go here and go there. And the point he was making, and I think it's a valid point, if a solid-state drive dies, it dies. If a magnetic drive dies, can you recover some stuff? Yeah, you can. So what's your thought?
It may be spendy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, and he makes a good point, but if you have a good backup plan, you really don't have to worry about it. You're not going to have any data loss if the mm-hmm. solid-state drive stops working. And more importantly, solid-state drives are really, really good nowadays.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Aside from out of the box for the first couple of weeks, you run the risk that the solid state could drive or could die. It's true in all technology. It's called infant mortality. There's this sort of brand new stuff sometimes either doesn't work in the first couple of weeks, and after that, you pass that, it's going to work until the end of the life. It is certainly an opportunity for you to do this. I'm not sure it's necessary, but you know, if you want to, you can.
Okay.
Okay. 312-981-7200. That's the number you all are using to text us questions for Dr. Patrick Crispin. And we've got a lot more ground to cover in the next half hour, so stay with us.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love this song. Along with playing some Christmas songs and some of the requests that you've had from some of our old jingles and things. We wanted to share a little bit of new music. And this is from the brand new Ides of March album, Play On. It is so good. This particular song is, I think, my favorite cut on the album. And there's a lot of good stuff.
Good video with this one, too.
And this was co-written by Jim Peterick and our friend Mindy Abaire, who is playing that incredible saxophone. I've used the word incredible too much tonight.
Extraordinary. Incredible.
Extraordinary. Incredible.
It's all the E words.
It's amazing.
Educational.
Yes. Well.
Amazing starts with an A, honey. No.
Well, I was just...
But I'm saying all...
Using an incredibly amazing,
okay,
extraordinary word. I think I'm going to ban that for 2020. That's going to be on my list of banned words. Anyhow, the album is called Play On. It's the Ides of March. And it is their 55th anniversary album.
That's crazy.
And Jimbo and the boys from Berwyn are still shaking it up. Good stuff. So it would make a nice Christmas gift for somebody.
Yes.
We're talking computers right now.
We are. And it's funny because some of our listeners who are texting in tonight have been with us for a really long time.
And thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that.
Every time I hear Steve and Johnny talking about computers, I'm reminding it of the very first time they bought their first computer.
Yeah.
As we said earlier, it was Satan in a box. It cost $666 from the Shoppers Network. We opened it up, took out the manual and said, "Hail to the no." Taped it back up, put a doily on top of the box, set a lamp on it.
Still haven't figured that thing out.
And we said, that's it. We're not going there. And as people have said, boy, you've come a long way from those days. But it's thanks to people like our guest with us on the line right now, Dr. Patrick Crispin, Director of Educational Technology and Assistant Professor of Clinical Medical Education, Keck School of Medicine of USC, and the daddy to our grandbaby, Joseph Gibson Crispin. Patrick is with us tonight to answer questions, and most of the questions are coming in via text, and that's cool because we understand people are still sitting in parking lots in places where they've been shopping, where they've passed out in their cars after shopping on Black Friday. Did you go shopping, Patrick? Hello?
Oops, wait a minute. Is Patrick, do I need to, let's see.
Oh, no. We can't blame Joey for this because he's already in bed.
Is Patrick here now?
I'm here.
Ah, there he is.
I am here.
Okay.
Remember when Joey knocked us off the air last time you were on with us?
We were just about to go in, and Joey came in and just hit the keyboard, and it shut down the computer. It's like, you've got to be kidding me.
And you texted, it was the boy, not me.
Joey did it.
Did you go shopping today, or are you going to do everything online?
We did not go shopping today, and we're going to be waiting for Cyber Monday and doing some of the deals online, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Christine wanted to go shopping, but...
Well, of course she did.
We stayed home.
She's a right-thinking American. We have to do our part for this economy.
Well, speaking of Cyber Monday and shopping and tech stuff, so what are some of the tech things that you think would be great tech deals and just interesting things for Christmas shopping?
Absolutely. I actually want to mention something that's just Verizon didn't tell anybody about this or didn't do a very good job of this. But if you are a Verizon Unlimited or Verizon Fios customer, did you know you can get Disney Plus for a year for free?
For free.
You don't have to pay $6.99 a month. Basically, you just go to Verizon, say, hey, give me access to Disney Plus, and they'll give it to you for free. And what happens is a year from now, you'll pay $6.99 a month on your Verizon bill. But if you need Disney Plus, in other words, if you have a 3.5-year-old who loves technology and computers and Disney, you can't beat free if you're a Verizon customer.
But if you say, give me this for free now, and then you're going to be charged, are you able to say, oops, no, I'm going to cancel it when the free freebies run out?
Basically, you go on to My Verizon and say a year from now, okay, just take this off, and you don't have to deal with it. So you can keep using this for 1 year, and then after that, see if there's another place that will give it to you for free.
That's excellent. Because I know,
and then another one. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know that one of the cool things about the Disney Plus is they're also offering some of the old, the really old early Disney stuff.
It's been wonderful. Joey has really been introduced to a whole bunch of new stuff that he had never seen or heard of before. So it's been phenomenal. By the way, almost everybody has Hulu by now, but if you don't have Hulu or you know somebody who doesn't have Hulu and you just can't kind of say, I don't want to pay $5.99 a month for Hulu, they have a sale going on until Monday. You can get it for $2 a month, $1.99 a month for a year. It's the commercial version. In other words, you're going to see the same repetitive commercials over and over and over again, and it's going to make you want to pull your hair out. But instead of staying $6 a month, you can get it for $2 a month. Just sign up at Hulu.com. Sale ends on Monday. Yeah. You have to be a new customer. You can't be an existing customer. And you can't have been a customer within the last 12 months. But if you are a brand new customer and haven't actually signed up for Hulu, I think $2 a month, $24 a year, that's a great price.
It sure is. And we happen to be people who haven't Hulu'd yet because I didn't think that there's anything that I could, you know, not live without. But for $2 a month, I'd be more than willing to give it a shot. Yes.
That was actually my thinking. I was a Hulu customer a long time ago. I'm a whole bunch of other streaming services. I just didn't renew my Hulu several years ago. And it's like, you know what? This might be worth it. Of course, we have so many streaming services now, it's hard to keep up.
We just don't have enough hours.
I was going to say, has that been one of the major tech stories of this year?
Yeah.
The really now domination of the streaming services.
It's Amazon, it's Netflix, it's Disney Plus,
Apple TV.
And then you've got Apple TV, you've got Hulu. It's really getting to the point where there's so much content. How are you ever going to catch up?
Yeah. Yeah. And look to the award shows now where all of these different streaming services are legit. I mean, network television.
They are legit.
Yeah, networks taking backseat to streaming. If Santa were to bring you one thing that you said, oh my gosh, this would be the coolest, what would be that thing that's the tech thing of all things this year?
What's funny is, I pretty much have bought all this cool tech stuff.
Okay, if you were a 16-year-old boy and you wanted the be-all, end-all this year, what would it be?
I got to tell you, I'm really impressed. Walmart has this smart TV kit. And Walmart's the only people who do this. And it's a combination of a Chromecast. And I gave you a Chromecast. It's what we hooked up to your television downstairs. It allows you to stream from any device onto your television using Google Chrome. And you can then stream your computer. You can stream whatever. Normally, you could pay $35 for that. And then they also have the Google Home Mini, which is a little speaker, a little smart speaker that you can get that's also normally like $30, $45. They've bundled those two together where you can get a Google Smart TV kit. It's a Chromecast and the Google Home Mini. They're going to throw in $10 of Vudu credit. Vudu is talking about streaming services. It's Walmart streaming service.
Oh.
The whole thing is $35.
Wow.
Which is... It's a scary price. I'm really, really impressed with that. So
then
it's the Google Smart TV kit.
Then I need a 50-year-old tech guy to live with me so he can show me how it works.
Excuse me.
Well, I don't know. And if he wanted to bring his baby and his wife with him, that'd be fine too. We got so many questions coming in here. By the way, I've had three different people that said, Patrick just decided what Santa's going to bring me for Christmas. Yeah. I'm getting a new desktop. And then I have to agree with one listener who said, this whole change from Windows 7 just sucks. I don't have the money for anything, much less upgrading to a new computer.
Years and years ago, Detroit was criticized for built-in obsolescence.
Yes.
Computers, by their nature, are built-in obsolescence. You have to upgrade as the technology changes.
But on the positive side, if you can afford it, now is absolutely the time to get a new computer because the prices are just silly right now.
Yeah.
I saw a Lenovo laptop that's normally $299. It's selling for $129 with a coupon code. And it's just like, it's a terrible computer. It's just horrible. But for $129, who cares?
Use it for a doorstop.
Exactly.
Let's go back to streaming, because Deanna says, what's the safest device to connect to my Wi-Fi to stream stuff, something that won't take bogus firmware updates?
Really, any of the name brand things out there. You can go with a Roku if you can afford it. The Apple TV is worth it. If you want to, just go and get a Chromecast. Mm-hmm. You know, the little Chromecast puck. You plug it into your, and then you stream from whatever devices you already have. You get to choose what is broadcast and sent to your computer, because there's no bogus firmware that you have to worry about.
So nothing is being pushed to you. You're actively
doing it.
I see.
Yep.
With the advent of the demise of Windows 7, do you think a lot of people, rather than buying a new computer, are going to be saying, I'm going to get all of my digital stuff on my cell phone?
A lot of people are. I mean, you're giving up still some things. A lot of us love Microsoft Office. By the way, spoiler alert, Microsoft Office 2010 has an end of life next year as well. But if you're using Word, if you're using PowerPoint, you don't have Office 365 and therefore can't get the online versions of it, giving up a computer means giving up really your fundamental productivity suite. And that's tough for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people still need a computer.
Mark, a listener wants to know, he says, Windows 10, I understand, will not have Windows Media Player included. I rip recordings that I own on Windows Media. Will I be able to play those recordings on other software, or what do I do?
Yes, you'll still be able to play it. Normally, what most people have been doing is almost everybody's sort of transitioned to VLC, Video LAN. It's an amazing free program. I love it. I've been using VLC for, gosh, a decade now, and it works perfectly.
And it's V as in Victor, LC?
DLC.
Okay, that answers your question, Mark. It's 12:46. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Patrick Crispin as we talk about computer stuff.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. You would think with a six-hour show, we would have covered everything. We still have a ton of things. Before we get back to Patrick, because we are running out of time, we want to mention a couple of things. One, several people didn't hear what we said at the top of the show. They want to know, are we going to be back for New Year's Eve? Yes, we will be back for New Year's Eve. And this is the 25th anniversary of the first Cheap Date Life After Dark New Year's Eve extravaganza. So we'll be on from 11 at night till 5 in the morning.
Right out of the hockey game.
Yep, it's going to be our New Year's Eve party. Also, some people want to know about do we still have any copies available of our Les Paul book? Yes, our Les Paul book, and it's called A Little More Less. And if you'd like to get copies, it's a book about the relationship we had with Les Paul for 18 years, and some behind-the-scenes photos and stories and things, and a lot of interviews and memories of Les Paul.
And in the new year, in March, we're going to be doing a book signing at the Morton Grove Library. We'll be talking, and we'd love to see you there. And if you have a library that you frequent, or you are a librarian, and you'd like to talk to us about coming to yours to speak and do a signing, we'd love to do that in 2020.
And you can get a copy of A Little More Less. Just go to A Little More Less, spell less with one S, alittlemoreless.com, or you can call 312-912-8639. That number again, 312-912-8639. And I'm trying to think if there's anything major that we should mention. No,
well, follow us on Facebook and at stephenjohnny.com, our website. It will take you to Facebook, and it will take you to Twitter, and it will take you to all the ships at sea. So just
and
make it simple.
And that's stevenjohnny.com. Okay. And
this answers the question why we used to do a very long website Wednesday night, because there's a lot of stuff to cover and you can't cover it in a minute and a half. In fact, I love the text coming in, Patrick, from people that saying, Patrick, welcome home. It's so great to hear you on the radio. And let's
Thank
try
you.
To squeeze in a bunch of these. Patrick, is there a particular laptop security that you would recommend?
Yeah, I'm liking Sophos Home, and you get it for free.
And that's
S-O-P-H-O-S. Sophos Home, and you get it for free.
Okay, sounds good.
And well, we've used it on one of our computers, and it it is there. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
you pretty much you install it, and that's it, and it takes care of everything. By the way, before we get too far afield or run out of time, we had said we were going to spend a little time talking about making sure you don't get
bogus
snookered
stuff
by something on Amazon or wherever. So what do you know, Patrick?
Real quickly, there is a problem with a lot of these online sellers where third parties are selling counterfeit goods. So I'm actually here now at Amazon Prime. I did a search for Fender Stratocaster Limited Edition. Second hit I'm looking at is a $1,500 Honeyburst. I'm looking at it going, okay, well, this is my Fender. This looks pretty good. But if you look underneath the Add to Cart and Buy Now button, you see that this isn't being sold by Amazon. This is actually being sold by, in this case, My Music Life. I don't know that company. I don't know if it's a good company or not. And what we have discovered is that a lot of third-party vendors out there are selling bad stuff. Government Accountability Office actually did a sort of sting operation recently, went out and bought 47 items that are frequently counterfeited, and it turns out that 20 of the 47 things that they bought turned out to be counterfeited.
What?
They were sold by third-party vendors as being legitimate. That included half of the travel mugs and all of the cosmetics. All of the cosmetics were counterfeit. To protect yourself, before you buy something, go and look at who it's being sold by. Don't assume it's the by name on Amazon means that it's being sold by that company. If it's a third-party vendor, check their reviews. Check the review for the product. A lot of people will sit there and say, hey, this is counterfeit. Something's off about this. Scrutinize the labels. Look at the packaging. If something just is off, that should be a big warning to you. And really trust the instincts. If you know that there's a, you know, a Fender Stratocaster should cost $1,600. The limited edition American Professional Stratocaster is, what, $1,600? Is that right, Steve?
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah. If you find one online for $300, that should be a big warning sign saying, you know, brand new Fender Stratocaster for $300. It's like, okay, no, not at all. If it's too good to be true, it's too good
really
to be
is.
True.
It really is, exactly.
Right. But let me also say,
and when it
be careful about the reviews, because I'm a fiend for reading reviews, and I'm beginning to see that there is, like, different names, but the exact same review over and over. And that bumps up the star. So now it's a 4.5-star item.
By the way, talking about the Fender's limited edition American Professional Stratocaster, Adorama has the Lake Placid Blue for $9.99.
Oh, hush.
Stop it. So I'm just saying.
And Patrick, you know how Johnny likes blue.
Oh,
so,
yes.
You know.
Oh, but, it, really, it looks just like her nails.
Oh, really? So. Sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S, because people are texting.
Yeah,
spell that for me, Sophos. And that's the free security software. And again, Sophos Home, S-O-P-H-O-S.
And
it's a big company. They have a professional version that they sell to companies, and then they give it away to home users.
Okay. If you want to come to town for New Year's Eve, we'd love to have you in here. I mean, we've
it's going to be the 25th anniversary of our first broadcast on New Year's Eve.
I bet we've celebrated half of those New Year's Eves with you here in the studio, right?
I have so many fond memories of that. But we're going to be on the parade route here, doing the countdown. This time we'll actually pick up the telephone.
That's right. We were worried. We're like, what? They're on the in Pasadena waiting for the parade, because people do line up the night before, right?
Yep, they sleep on the parade route.
That's awesome. Thank you for your time tonight. We really appreciate it. During
Thank
the holiday,
you.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Listeners love you. We miss you. And
and tell the boy Donald says hello.
Wow.
I shall.
And hug him for me, okay? Thank you, Patrick.
I shall. Have a good night.
Thanks, Patrick.
Wow.
This has been a fast 6 hours.
Crazy.
Thank you very much for hanging out with us.
Yes.
We never take the fact that you're nice enough to hang out with us on the radio and online. We never take that lightly. And again, you can follow us at steveandjohnny.com. steveandjohnnie.com. You know, we would almost have, would we have enough time? Yeah, should we give...
Okay, it would really satisfy them.
There's one thing that hasn't been done.
Yes.
That we should try to do.
We may not be able to get all of them, but here we go.
We
can tease them with a little bit.
Well, everyone, it's that time of the year again. And Santa, I hope you're listening, because this is my holiday wish.
Ashley, are you ready to sing along?
Your kind of Christmas might be snow-covered trees.
You got it.
Sleigh bells ringing in the distance, or angels praying on their knees. But my dream of Christmas is five naked ladies dancing in the window, calling out my name, yelling out a joke.
Matt Bubala wants to sing along.
I'd set up all three, but it just wouldn't be Christmas. Not the way I remember it. No, it would not be the same as...
Sing along now.
All together now.
Five naked ladies dancing in the window, calling out my name. Oh. Yelling out, hey Joe.
Come on up here.
They don't write them like that anymore, Matt.
They don't. What happened?
Yeah, I know.
And you won't believe who this is.
Do you know? Do you have any idea who this is?
I can't name him off the top, no.
No.
He started writing this song, absolutely true.
In the studio.
In the studio with us in the middle of July.
He brought a keyboard down Michigan Avenue. We invited him in because he's a world-renowned cartoonist, Joe Martin, who... You know Joe Martin.
Oh, Mr. Boffo.
Yes.
Get out of here.
So we thought we were going to talk about Mr. Boffo, and he comes in and he goes, I've been inspired to write this Christmas song. And he did, and it just went crazy. And
you'll find it on the Mr. Boffo website now.
And,
that's great.
And videos, and they had to release a CD, and our listeners clamored for it. And
does he still do Mr. Boffo?
He does.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
he
he's really... up in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He's a wild man. Five naked ladies dance. So now our friends, our regulars for all these years will be happy. Their Christmas is complete.
What you got going on this morning?
We're going to have a lot of fun this morning. We've got Jana Nelson. She's a political analyst covering Latin America. She's going to talk about the issues. You know, there's a lot of issues with violence over the border, and there's some interesting theories on who's to really blame for that. So we'll talk about that. Jeff Nichols is a Chicago historian who put up a fascinating piece about the Columbian Exposition. And I'm always fascinated by that because I used to work at the Museum of Science and Industry. So he's going to come in and we'll talk a little Chicago history.